Is this Santana? That's a silly pull.
With little Rob Thomas.
How's that pull by me?
Dude, music savant. You know yourself.
You should be impressed by that. The Grant and Danny radio program is sponsored by the law firm of Kanduri and Murad. They're going to help you to draft a last will and testament or set up a trust. They'll put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. You can listen to us every single day between 2 and 6:30 on the Odyssey app. Wherever you are, it is free and available. Of course, 106.7 over the air in the DMV, and you can stream us in high definition on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube. Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and let's talk to our buddy David Aldridge of The Athletic. There's a lot of ground to cover with him on the Commanders front today. David, it is good catching up. I believe you were on site today for the vote, weren't you?
Still am.
Very cool. You were the first person I saw with the tweet, so I figured you either had good sourcing in the building or you were there. That is a lengthy day, so job well done by you. But 9-3 was the vote. The Commanders striking one final deal they needed to get a couple more votes today. What can you tell us about just the magnitude of this vote and how big a deal this is in the grand scheme of the stadium coming to D.C.?
Well, look, this was the big vote. I mean, there will be another vote on the 17th of September. There will be they call a second reading. You have to have two yes votes, basically, for something to become law in the district. This gives people opportunity to kind of go back in if there's anything they want to fix or try to amend. The major thing that came up after or during the discussion on the vote was that a lot of council members want there to be kind of more stringent and faster penalties to the team if they don't get the housing component of this construction built in a timely manner. That is often a point that kind of fails with these mixed use deals that teams make, for these billion-dollar deals that teams make. They say, well, we're gonna make sure a lot of housing gets built, and the housing never gets built. I wrote a story about this in the Athletic a few months ago about Detroit, for example. They did the same deal for Little Caesars Arena. It was supposed to be this huge district and lots of housing. There's no housing. The building's been up for 8 years. That aside, this was a big day for this deal. It's going to pass on the 17th unless there's some incredible setback. And the Commanders, again, unless there's some incredible setback, are going to be back in Washington, D.C.
There's a whole generation of fans, David, younger than us, that could, you know, it could be in Timbuktu for all they care. They just kind of want the new stadium. How would you how do you explain, because I've struggled to do it. I don't have a great answer for this. How do you explain to the younger folks why it's so special to those of us kind of like our age and up?
I think it's difficult. It's, you know, reference point for things like this is LeBron and Michael Jordan. If you didn't see Michael Jordan play, there's nothing I can do that can convince you that Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time if the only player you've seen is LeBron. So people who are 30 and younger, rightly, because LeBron's been on the scene for the last 20 years, think LeBron's the best player ever. As I've said many times, he's got a case. The case is wrong, but he's got a case. But yeah, so I get it that people, you know, who didn't go to RFK, who weren't at RFK, don't understand what being at RFK meant to the team and to the city. I can only tell you, you should ask people who did get to go to games at RFK. You should ask players who played at RFK what it was like and the advantage that the team had by playing there more than 30 years that they played there, and how special and galvanizing a thing it was for the city. You know, you saw the whole city at those games. You saw Jack Kent Cook and his rich friends in the box, but you saw a lot of working class people in the stands. I hope, fellas, that you will see working class people in the stands at the new stadium. My experience in recent stadium constructions, regardless of the sport, regardless of the league, is that you don't get many working class people to get in those stadiums because the tickets are too expensive. And that has really diminished home court, home field advantage in a lot of places because it's not the real fans. So I hope that the Commanders, as they contemplate who's going to be in their stadium, understand that they have to have people who really provide the lung power and who really are passionate about this team have a place in this, in their stadium, where they can cheer and root the team on.
David Aldridge of The Athletic. Yeah, I want to get back into that, because that is certainly not the trend in sports. It's suites over seats. You know, when you spend this kind of money, you are trying to do business and hobnob with the people with the money, right? And we know that there's going to be PSLs, and I think it's going to be really hard for people like me with a family to just take your kids to the game. We'll talk about that in a second. But before we even get there, I got to say, I'm immensely impressed that they got this thing across the finish line as quickly as they did. You know, on the show, we have talked to, I don't know, a half dozen city council members and the mayor at different points. Getting to know Mark Klaus a little bit in this process, I think he's super sharp and crushed it. But, I mean, they did change this deal as needed to suit that council member and this council member. And even today, we're talking to Eric Flack of Channel 9 yesterday. They had 7 votes for sure. They weren't sure that they could get 8. They got 2 people to swing across because they altered something else. What does this say about the ownership group, Klaus, the new president, and really his first big mission? Like, this was not an easy plane to land on this runway, and they did it pretty effectively.
Yeah, I'll certainly say that, you know, everybody on the council, really, everybody, even the people that voted no, all commended the job that the commanders, and particularly Mark Klaus, did on this. Like, he listened. He really did listen. Sometimes the answer back was still no, but he listened. And there was quite a bit of movement. Now, that's part of the sausage getting made in any legislation. There's got to be some compromise and some give and take to get anything done. You don't want to see how the sausage gets made on these things, but somebody who just sat through the total number of hours was 18 hours. I didn't sit through 18 hours, but I sat through about 7 hours of testimony over the previous 2 days. You do not want to see how this gets done. It is tedious. It is difficult. And we only see the public part of it. We don't even see the real horse trading that goes on. But the commanders were very willing to listen. They did not come in with the attitude of, we're going to do this and there's nothing you can do about it, because that would have been problematic. They came in and there was some give and take. They did make a lot of concessions. There was a lot of things that Phil Mendelson, the chair of the council, said had to be clawed back. There had to be some revenues clawed back to the district. And, you know, the numbers fly around. The claim is somewhere around $640 million in actual revenues and $100 million in additional benefits that he says the city now gets. And the commanders had to commit to some more money, $50 million in community benefits specifically for wards 5, which abuts this Ward 6 and 7, where the stadium's going to be built, because they wanted to make sure that more actual district residents were touched by this in a meaningful way. You know, not just to drive past the stadium and, you know, with your pom-pom on your car, but to actually have some financial skin in the game. And they did that, and that's a credit to the team to be willing to do that. Now, having said that, guys, you know, this isn't charity, the stadium building. You know, Josh Harris is going to make a lot of money on this stadium, and the people that run the commanders are going to make a lot of money, not just on the stadium, but on the mixed-use development and the entertainment district. They're going to get a cut of all of that, right? So let's not hold a telethon for Josh Harris. but they did do the work that was necessary to get 9 out of 12, which is a pretty good, you know, pretty good vote for any piece of legislation across the finish line. And as you, to your point, in a very, very fast time frame, remember, it wasn't, you know, it was Christmas when the Senate somehow voted to give D.C. the land back. Like, that was 7 months ago. It wasn't a year and a half ago. This got done in about 7 months, which is an amazingly fast time frame to get something this big done.
And we had city council members on this show within the last month. I mean, well, heck, 2 weeks that were saying, we'll be ready to vote in the fall. And then within a couple of days, Mendelson strikes the deal, and they set up an August 1st vote. I mean, they were saying the first vote could be late September, early October. So they moved and shaked here. They got some things done.
They did. They did. And that was, you know, the team really was putting the pressure on to get this done soon, because they want the stadium up by 2030 so that they can bid on the 2031 Women's World Cup and some other things that are nearby and get in the line for Super Bowls. I mean, we can't ignore that. Now, it's 2 years, so if it goes up in 30, they can't host the Super Bowl until 2032 because the NFL wants to see the rollout and see what problems remain and what kinks remain before they award a Super Bowl. But certainly they want to get in line as soon as possible for things like that.
David, you've been going to a lot of stadiums for a number of years now, covering sports at the high level that you have. What's something that they got to get right here, just in terms of maybe a concern of yours or something that you go, you better not play around with this. You better make sure that this is up to snuff.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I remember when I was at the school student paper at American University, and they passed, they finally got an on-campus basketball court that seats about 3,800 people. And I remember our advisor saying, they can only build this stadium one time, David. They can't mess it up. Mm. And so that's what has led me on every stadium deal going forward from then on was the same thing. They can only build this one time. They can't build it twice, you know. So, I would say certainly, look, they're going to have all the bells and whistles and all the seats are going to be really nice. And it's going to be nice cup holders and great amenities. And you're going to get food delivered and, you know, through drones or planes or something. Like, it's going to be, you know, for the people that have the money, it's going to be very nice. But again, I come back to, what about the people that maybe can't afford to go to the game? You know, that can't afford to pay for public seat licenses so that they can buy seats. Are there seats in the building for them and their families, for working class people like my dad, who took me to one or two games as a mailman back in the day? You know, and it was like I found a piece of gold the one or two times I got to go to a Redskins game back in the day. You know, are people like that going to be able to get in the stadium? I worry about that. I worry about traffic. It's a ton of traffic. It's a lot of cars. There's one metro station. There's talk that they're going to, what they call infill, a new metro station nearby. I think they're going to have to do that. They're going to have another place to service public transportation. They're going to have another entranceway at Stadium Armory that's close to the, yep, to the facility. They're going to have to figure out things that they didn't have any, weren't even around back in the RFK days, like, where's the Uber set up? Where's the rideshare set up? Where's the bike set up? You know, you go to Nats Park, you see hundreds of spaces for people to put their bikes in, to bike to the games. You got to have that. You know, you're going to have that. So how is this going to work with this entertainment district? You know, where are people going to be able to park at the entertainment district and walk over? How's that going to work? You know, so all of those things have to be ironed out. There's a million details. But to me, the main thing, again, as a tax-paying citizen of the District of Columbia, I would like for people who live in the District of Columbia to be able to afford to go to some of the games and some of the other events that are going to be at that stadium.
Yeah, so to double-click on that, one of the things that came out of, I think it was yesterday's hearing, they were pressed on the PSLs, and they acknowledged that a lot of the money they'd be raising to cover some of, you know, their costs would be from PSLs. I mean, those can be thousands of dollars. And for people that don't know,
thousands of dollars, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, basically, this is just like money that you spend for permission to have season tickets. I don't have a better way to describe it. But like, you know what it is? It's like the posting fee to negotiate with Shohei Ohtani. Like, I'll give you $20 million, and then I get to negotiate with Ohtani.
Right.
That just prices people out. So this is very secondary. I'm very excited about the stadium. It's going to be awesome. And this would be the case, by the way, whether they built in D.C. or Landover or anywhere. It's just what happens now. But you're talking about something that's important. How do you do that in this era? Because you go to SoFi, you know, any of these stadiums, that's kind of what, there's not that many cheap tickets. It is really hard to afford to go. Like, is there even a path to that anymore?
Well, there's got to be, I think you seek a balance, right? I think it has to be a balance. You can't just have 75% of the stadium be suites and people with PSLs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's going to be, you can monetize it that way, but you don't, again, you lose the fans. You don't have your fans in the stand. I remember when the Warriors moved from Oracle into their new building, Chase Center downtown. And they assured me, we're going to have 85% of our fan base is going to go with us. No, they didn't. They didn't.
When was that, David?
Rich people. It's rich people in the building. It's okay. I mean, you can do that. It's your building. You can charge whatever you want. But you lost a lot of what made playing the Warriors really hard, which was people screaming really loud for that team in a building that was smaller and more intimate than the one you're in now. And so you have to strike a balance between the revenue generating part of a stadium, which is selling tickets and selling suites and selling sponsorships and all that, to people who may or may not really be fans of the team, and having us carving out space for the people who really are the people who buy the t-shirts and the hats and the caps and the jerseys and the people that put paint on their face and take their shirts off. You know, they got to be in there too for you to win football games. This is about winning football games. You know, like, it's nice to have a really nice stadium, but if they don't help you win football games, it doesn't matter. We were in Detroit for the playoff game last year. That's a bigger stadium than this is going to be. But that stadium's loud. And part of the reason it's loud is because they didn't price out everybody who works there. You know what I mean? Like, they have tickets for people that actually are Lions fans, and it makes a difference, and it will make a difference here.
David, hard to ask you to summarize 7+ hours of testimony and thoughts and commentary. But was there something that somebody said that, you know what, that made you go, like a, you know what, that's actually a good point, or I hadn't thought of that, or anything interesting kind of come out of those long discussions?
I mean, you know, you always go back to me. I always go back to parking and traffic. And I think it was Charles Allen. He's been on your show a lot, I think, over the last few months, right? And he talked about that the original plan was 4,500 cars an hour going through neighborhoods to go to these parking lots. And just think about that. Just think about what it would be like if you're on your block. You just had 4,500 cars pass your block in an hour. Like, what would that do to the traffic patterns in your neighborhood? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you can't take your kids out on a stroll with 4,500 cars passing by. Like, it's impossible, right? So you just think about that. Like, yeah, that's a lot of cars. That's a lot of cars. So, you know, there has to be some – that's why the public transportation piece, I think, is so important. You know, I don't think any of us could imagine – Nats Park without the Navy Yard Metro, right? You just couldn't imagine it, right? Like, it just wouldn't work. And now you're talking about a stadium that's going to be, well, not twice as big, but, you know, have 20,000, 25,000 more seats than Nats Park has, you know, so you got to get the Metro piece right in a big and enhanced way to make this work for most people. And not only for the stadium, but remember, guys, they're building a neighborhood, basically, from scratch. I mean, they're going to have restaurants and retail and all of these bells and whistles. Well, people have to get there. They have to, you know, they have to get there. How do they get there? And this is where they've got to figure out a thing that makes sense for a lot of people who are going to try to get there, whether it's on game days or non-game days.
The great David Aldrich, Jay Hall of Famer. Check him out. The Athletic columnist in town. Of course, AU Eagles, he is DC through and through. We appreciate you, David. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
You got it. David Aldridge, great insight on the stadium, joining us here on Grant and Danny.